Stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And this is Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That Podcast with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 45. Gretchen, how are you?
I'm all right.
It's been a couple weeks since we've been in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Not much has been going on in Washington over the last 2 weeks.
No, nothing.
Not much at
all. Nothing, nothing in front of a little election.
Same old pages. So, yeah, it's I just watched my Cowboys lose.
Mm-hmm.
To Philadelphia and got kicked.
Yeah, not so good. His last 13 seconds.
Not so good. Well, the whole last half wasn't very good. So, Cowboys, you never know what the kind of year the Cowboys are going to have. And this year, it's...
Aren't they in second place right now?
Yeah, second place. It just means nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, they really suck. They really do. They need a new quarterback. And yeah, I mean, the Eagles aren't even that good. And they pretty much handled the Cowboys like... They were nothing, so. Anyways, I saw a preview movie that I wanted to talk about this morning. I'm a member of Talk Cinema. That's talkcinema.com. And like every 3 weeks or so, the fall season just started. We get to preview independent and foreign movies before they hit the market and then have a discussion about them afterwards. And this morning, guess what I saw, Gretchen?
The one about the Half Nelson.
No, that's been out for a while.
Oh, okay.
No, but I would like to see that one. It's probably one that you've seen previews to or you've heard about. I know they've been talking about it on NPR because most of the time the movies that we preview come out like a month or even 2 months before they hit the market.
Okay.
In this case, it's coming out next Friday.
Oh, all right.
And the movie's called The Queen. And it's not an introspective look at the gay community.
Is it the one with Helen Mirren?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. She's been doing the talk shows.
Yeah. I'm sure she's been doing it. Anyway, it is outstanding. It really is. You really get a sneak peek into the life of the royals. And, of course, it's in this nutty period where Diana dies and they don't come out for, 4 or 5 days. And Tony Blair is pleading with them because he sees that they need to come out and say something because the country's just going nuts.
Uh-huh.
And but it's all about sort of behind the scenes in the royals.
Who wrote this?
I think the director, Stephen Frears, I think he... directed it, duh.
But, yeah.
And I think he helped write it, but somebody else was writing it too. Anyways, it is, it's based on as much factual evidence as they possibly could find, and then he had to use creative license to fill in all the gaps.
Uh-huh.
But it's a fascinating portrayal of her. I mean, she doesn't like Diana, and she's very... old Britain, out of Churchill's generation, don't show any emotions, but you start to sympathize with her. You don't necessarily agree with her methods, but you start to see at least understand the person, and it's fascinating. And you see glimpses of Prince Charles and Prince Philip, her husband, who is really portrayed in this movie to be just a horrible man. And it's great. It really is good. So I coming out this Friday, I recommend it. Huh. And I do get a cut from the revenue proceeds.
Okay.
All right. And I got a couple other things I wanted to turn people onto. This is the new TV season. And I've got a couple shows that I'm interested in that I'm liking so far. So the first show is called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. I can't remember if I mentioned this before on this show or not, but it's pretty good. I've seen two of the shows. I think they're going to, or two or three have already been on. So it's written and directed and created by the same people that did West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
You pretty much need to have TiVo or tape record it because there's so much, just like West Wing, there's so many things going on at one time that I often need to pull it back 10 seconds and catch all the side conversations and so forth because it goes by pretty fast. But it's been an entertaining show so far. I don't know how they're going to sustain themselves for 7 or 8 years like West Wing because ultimately it's just about a Saturday Night Live-like show and the producing of that. So it seems like it's going to be good for a season or two.
That's been on for 26 years now, 27 years.
Oh, I know.
So maybe they can sustain it.
The show itself, but this is about creating the show. And Right now it's good because you got two hotshot writers that are coming back to save the show.
But there'll be crises that come up, you know, people die and people get fired and they'll keep it fresh.
And, you know, the Christian groups right now are complaining about certain Christian, anti-Christian comedy bits. I don't know. So we'll see how if it can sustain itself. And then another one a friend of mine from work recommended is Heroes. And it's sort of a Lost-like. I've never seen Lost, but apparently in Lost you have all these different characters that find out that there's sort of a more than one dimension in their lives going on. They cross paths beforehand, which I guess is sort of what Lost is about. And the more you see the show, the more of that is revealed. Well, Heroes is much the same way. I've only seen 1.5 shows of this. I came in late, but there's only been 2 so far. And it's about these different people around the world that sort of discover they have superpowers. That sounds really corny. It's a little bit better than that.
Yes, but, you're right. It does sound corny.
And apparently they're all connected somehow in their past.
And we're going to find that out like in season 4?
Yeah,
what the connection is?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my recommendations. And what do you have?
Well, something I guess... a little bit. I'm not getting a cut from this, but I don't know if you saw this past week's cover story in U.S. News and World Report. Did you know that the United States any day now is going to pass 300 million population? We're hitting the 300 million mark. The baby's coming, or the immigrant's coming, or somebody's coming, and we're going to hit 300 million.
And I wonder what they're going to do for that 300 millionth person.
Big party.
They will follow them through their lives.
Big party. But anyhow, I'll just summarize. U.S. News and World Report was actually pretty interesting because America's on a tear right now. We're now the third largest country in the world behind China and India. And it took 139 years to get to the first 100 million. Then it took 52 years to get to the second 100 million. Hmm. And then it took just 39 years to get to the 300th million. So... because times are good and we're a prosperous country, you know, people want to be here and we're having babies, even
well,
with the declining birth rate.
It's geometric. It's like 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. Every time you multiply by 2, the number gets so much higher very, very quickly because people, I mean, our birth rate isn't necessarily growing larger, right?
No, birth rate is going down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But it's just sheer number of people procreating.
True. And when we, they first
or,
took...
or poking, as I like to say.
When they took the first census in 1790, there were only 4 million people in the entire country. So, and just since the year 2000, we've added 20 million people. So our birth rate is just skyrocketing. Hmm. And there's 3 big trends that this article was looking at, and I'll just summarize it. So if you see it, you won't have to read it.
Good.
I know. Don't read it.
That's what we do for you on this show. You're driving along, you get the latest
Here's
and greatest
the trends.
Condensed version.
That's right. The first trend is
we should call ourselves Podcast Digest.
There you go. Well, no, the first trend is migration. And surprisingly, the Northeast and the Midwest populations have declined, but many, many Americans are now living in the South and the West.
Yeah.
Half of the population is now in the South and the West.
You know, that's been going on for a long time, that migration that way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Immigration is next, and we can't not turn on the news without talking about immigration.
Right. Immigration from Canada. We need to build a fence.
Right. That's right. Yeah, 700 miles along the 3,000-mile border, right?
Yeah. I'm sick of these people showing up in Minnesota.
Right.
You know?
Of the newest 100 million, 53% are immigrants or their descendants. And the last trend that everybody's spotting in this 300 millionth mark is...
crack babies.
No, old people, the boomers.
They're living longer.
There are so many boomers. We're getting bigger, older, and more diverse.
Bigger as in fatter?
Well, yeah, that too. But no, we're just getting older. And that's got a lot of ramifications. So...
like what?
Well, funny you should ask, but...
I'm a good straight man, aren't I?
Yeah, really. Well, you know, you hear about
this. Do tell more, Gretchen.
Oh, let me tell more. That right now, this is what's actually kind of funny. Well, the baby boomers, the first ones are starting to turn 60, such as Bill Clinton, right? He would be the epitome of the baby boomers since he just turned 60. 77 million aging baby boomers are coming, and they're going to pose a crushing burden for the country. The median age in 1900 of the United States was 22.9, so say like 23 years old. So
wow.
In 1900, okay. Most people were 23. Now the age is 36.5.
Okay.
And in 2030, it's going to go up to 39. So that's when it's finally going to level off. That's going to be the median age. So they're saying that 12% of Americans are over 65, and that America in 2030 is going to look like Florida does today.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. You know, 2030, which is what, not that far away.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's going to look like the population of Florida right now. That's what the country's going
to
look like.
So we really need to get our health care, which is totally out of control right now. We really need to get it.
Well, here's what we really need to in the next 25 years, we're going to have 72 million people over 65. Social Security and Medicare are not going to be able to sustain the 72 million people, of which we will be some of them.
You're scaring me, Gretchen.
No.
Quit scaring me.
Sorry, another heavy
topic.
I'm
relying on my Social Security.
Not only do we have a horrible national debt of $8.5 trillion, but Medicare is actually going to be out of money, drawing down in 2010.
Excellent.
And Social Security is going to be out of money in 2017. So it's like we're getting old, man. We're just aging.
When I want to retire. 2017
exactly.
Is not that far from
no,
now.
No, it's absolutely not. And that's what, you know.
So when I start belling up to the bank for...
You better be looking your own piggy bank, because it ain't going to be there. You know, Uncle Sam.
My piggy bank is on sex and drugs and rock and roll. That's where my piggy bank went to. Like most Americans. Actually, like most Americans, my piggy bank went to McDonald's burgers.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not a couch.
And trans fat. Hey, but I'm pump. Gretchen doesn't like my couch from my college days. I don't know what's the problem with that. But you like my Pottery Barn chair. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is nice. That is nice. So, anyhow, I thought that was interesting. So now you don't have to buy the magazine. But
okay, that's very good. So what does
Did 40 years, we're going to have 400 million people. Talk about going fast.
Yeah.
So you think it's crowded out there on those freeways now? Just wait.
They're going to have to build another lane.
That's right.
So U.S. report is just like, okay, we're going to, you know, scare people again. And did they offer any kind of other alternatives? Like, this is kind of some of the debate that maybe we should be having now. And obviously, healthcare would be in there. Teaching people how to eat better, and so that the healthcare in general. But I wonder if there's anything else we can do. Do we need to start instituting programs of killing people over 80, you know, using them for food?
Stop it.
Come on, it's a good idea. But do they care? What do they care, Gretchen? They're 80.
Well, actually, we'll probably actually live longer, too.
Yeah.
Because of the improvements in medicine.
Well, let's just say 90, then. We got to get rid of them at some point. Just like the American Indians do, right? You get too old to help with the society. You go off and walk alone and
but
then die.
But it's really interesting, though, that seniors are, they give communities an economic boost. They say that a retiree, usually they're well-to-do, generates $2 in economic activity for every dollar they spend. So it's not so bad to be in a community that is based off of retirees.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I can go back and reread it.
They produce a lot of gas. I know that.
No, they donate a lot of their time. They're not employed, so they donate. I mean, think about what they do. You know, they're librarians. They work at the elections. They keep economy. You know, they keep communities running
right.
For the most part with free labor. So.
Right. All right. So, there you go. And if it wasn't for them, we would have no Viagra industry.
No, I don't think you need to be that old, Viagra.
All right. Well, I have. I wanted to talk about a little bit lighter topic. May I?
Sure. You always manage to find the light ones.
I always have the light ones, and you always have the heavy ones.
No. I have light ones too.
Yeah, right.
I do.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk about Jessica Simpson.
That's pretty light.
Yes, indeed. Actually, it's a little bit more general than just Jessica Simpson, but I wanted to talk about what is known as the overexposure meter. So basically, the question poses, and they use Jessica Simpson in here as a good example, but apparently with public relations, you can get too much exposure, too much of a good thing. This was something that even 10 years ago wasn't really on the map. celebrities just wanted exposure, and all exposure was generally pretty good. But according to Encino, California-based ePoll Market Research, which ranks more than 2,800 celebrities on 46 different personality attributes, yeah, I don't know how they get these personality attributes, and they don't list them here, so it's kind of interesting. But Simpson's overexposed score went from 17% in September 2003 to 41% currently, mid-2006. The average for most celebrities during their peak of the peak of their careers is between 3 and 7, to give you an idea, 3 and 7%.
Overexposure.
Overexposure. Wow. During that same period, Simpson's talent score dropped from 36% to a disappointing 28%. Now, obviously, we don't know what those percentages mean, but we can use them for comparison only. Okay, let me go on with this thing. Jessica Simpson was big when Newlyweds, the sitcom show with her and her ex-husband, were on. But now that her show is over and her marriage are over, Simpson is exposed as what? As Jessica Simpson. In other words, is really, she has made CDs and she has been in movies. Mm-hmm. Apparently, when she goes out in concert, she can't really get people to come out. It doesn't make money. So she hasn't been that successful with that. And ultimately, what the analysts say is that she is best as Jessica Simpson, just being a celebrity. So she's famous because she's famous. And that's true of some of these. So I'm going to go mm-hmm. through some of the top stars. The top, she's not the top. You can probably guess who the top overexposure person is.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Paris Hilton.
Yeah, Paris Hilton for 66%. And again, she's exact same example in that. She's a celebrity because she's a celebrity.
Right.
And it doesn't really have a lot of teeth, and it's at this point kind of damaging her. Number two is Britney Spears. Now, Britney Spears did have a pretty successful musical career about 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. but that really hasn't done much. And now she's probably more famous as just being the tabloid Britney Spears.
Uh-huh.
Anna Nicole Smith is next. And that kind of surprised me. I know she's been in the tabloids lately because of the death of her son, which is really a tragic thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't... it seems strange.
She was also in the news for quite a few years with going to the Supreme Court.
Right. But before her son just died, I know I hadn't really thought too much about her. Kevin Federline comes in at number four, which again...
Enough. Yeah. Say no more.
Pamela Anderson, 5. Lindsay Lohan is an interesting 6. Lindsay Lohan is the first one of the list that I've mentioned that actually has talent. She is has acting talent and has been in some really good movies. And it's interesting, too, because
what,
she...
the Love Bug?
No, she was just in the NPR Graham...
The Garrison Keillor?
The Garrison Keillor one, yeah. And she was very good. And I can't remember. She was in a couple other movies that were very good. People think highly of her.
But I will say Jessica Simpson was in Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes, she was. But the movie did not do very well, and she was not critically called out.
She was very much acclaimed, okay? Certain parts of her were very acclaimed.
Wow. Lindsay Lohan is actually supposed to have talent. And her problem, of course, is that she's, 19 and has a drinking problem. In fact, when she was hosting Saturday Night Live, I remember... reading about the fact that the cast actually took her aside, almost like an intervention, and said, Lindsay, you have a lot of talent. You've got a great career ahead of you, but you have to stop this.
Hmm.
So that's kind of an interesting... She, to me, is the interesting one to watch. Next up is Tom Cruise, then Nicole Richie. Yeah. Then the Olsen twins. I don't even really know who they are, except they look so funny together. Then Michael Jackson. Donald Trump is on the list.
Donald Trump, wow.
Yeah, and then Jessica Simpson. So
you already said Jessica Simpson?
Yeah. Well, no, she's... Yeah, okay. Well, she's on the
I thought
list,
she was up there as number 2.
No, oh, she's like number 10.
She makes the list. Okay, got it. I see.
Right. So anyways, that's overexposed. That's the overexposed list.
Okay.
I suspect that you and I will be on the overexposed list.
Sometime you for sure. Soon. I don't know about me, though.
I don't go around exposing myself. What are you implying?
Well, maybe in Dallas.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Did you hear about the school teacher in Dallas that got fired?
No, I got something on that too, but go ahead.
Is that just shocking? What is up with one complaint from one parent because the fifth grade class went to the Dallas Museum of Art and saw a naked sculpture?
Well, let me tell you, I did my research because I do a lot of research for this podcast. And mostly they mentioned that there are some scantily clad sculptures of women, so... You know, I had to go check that out.
It's a museum of art. It's a very
I got very turned
museum
on.
Museum of art.
I got very, very turned
I think your
on.
Mom's
and I took
listening.
I took a page with me. And I asked him what he was wearing.
Stop it.
Sorry. It's too funny. But did you hear the backstory on this? They are basically the school is saying, you know, this woman has a long list of problems. Students and teachers and parents had cited her against.
Hmm. So this wasn't just this one incident. It was a combination of it.
Well, it's interesting. What the school board is saying is that, the timing wise, it looks like it's this, because there's only one complaint, right?
Right.
And obviously it's an
complaint.
Art museum. Come on.
Right.
The problem is it got so much press, like hot fire. It was in the New York Times, it was in the LA Times, it was in, I think, the USA Today.
Because taken alone, a teacher taking a class to a nationally ranked museum is pretty appalling to think that one complaint about seeing a nude sculpture could get somebody fired.
It made great press. That's a great story. I mean, that makes great press,
itself,
and it makes Dallas really, really look very conservative and really ugly, ugly place. But the school board basically said, hey, the timing of this, we know it looks bad, but this is not the reason. Now, in cases like this, Gretchen, we never know the real story.
No,
you know?
We don't. Is she suing? Because then we might find out the real story.
Yeah, I think she's deliberating it. She has asked to open up her, her records or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Or she's given the school board in the... I can't remember. I'm not saying this exactly right, but somehow she challenged the school board to have sort of a duel, if you will, on opening up all the records.
Wow.
So she's sort of playing like, you know.
So she's
trying
really to say
she
doesn't have a problem.
Right.
Well, stay tuned, because that it was just appalling. Because I saw it on TV. I mean, somebody did like a 4-minute piece on her.
Yeah. And you know, if it was performance problems and they wanted to get rid of her,
Don't get rid
of her after one person calls on a field trip on a stupid thing at the Dallas Museum of Art.
Like
and in fact, educators should fight vigilantly against that. This is so wrong that they need to fight and stand down parents that would complain about something like that. This is educating our children, and I think it's kind of ridiculous. Instead, they made a really stupid decision and decided that was the right time to fire her. Like, that was the straw that hit the camel's back. I mean, in any case, there may be more of a backstory, but in any case, they made a really, really bad decision.
It's bad timing.
Bad timing.
Bad timing.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, this is the city that we live in.
Mm. That was not our finest hour, if that's really what happened.
No.
Hey, so did you hear about luxury handbag maker Coach and who they sued?
Did you hear that little story? No, I didn't.
This is an actually interesting one.
Okay.
Coach sued Target. Target, the second largest retailer in the United States.
Yeah.
Because they said that Target is selling a counterfeit Coach bag.
Oh, really?
Has it complete with their name on it, with their signature C pattern, and a touch of snakeskin-like fabric. It is an exact replica of a genuine Coach handbag.
Actually has the Coach logo on it?
Yep, it has the Coach logo. And Target is not a licensed distributor of Coach product. Coach bought the bag at a Target store in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach is seeking at least $1 million in damages, as well as information on where the bag was made. It was sold for $200, which is considerably less than what it would sell for in a Coach store. The original bag was called the Python Signature Stripe Demi, and it's over a year old, and it's no longer in the Coach collection. But this is just the start, the tip of the iceberg. It's been happening a lot. Luxury brands maker Louis Vuitton and Dior have sued eBay, saying that 9 out of 10 bags on eBay are counterfeit, and they want $47 million in damages. It's really a huge problem, and if you go overseas and, you know, they try to really put a kibosh on how many copy bags you can bring back and copy DVDs you can bring back.
I don't understand a big retailer like Target.
That's
actually
the thing.
That doesn't make
sense.
I can even understand them. I mean, this is, even though it's bad, I can understand them coming up with a lookalike,
right?
With no Coach symbol on it.
They have done that before too,
and that's still infringing, really.
But
I could almost see that. But making the exact same bag and putting the label on it when they don't have the right.
Coach has in the past discovered Target knocking off its bags, but this, they're saying, is a genuine counterfeit that came through the gray market channels, and it should not be in there. Target said there's no merit that the bag is real and that this suit is just false, but Target still doesn't have the right to sell this product. It's not their channel of distribution.
It seems like a no-brainer.
It does seem like a no-brainer. So, and then I didn't realize this, but another manufacturer sued Walmart last year for allegedly selling counterfeit Fendi bags in Sam's Club warehouses.
Really?
Fendi bags are thousands and thousands of dollars, and if you go to a Sam's Club and you pay a couple $100, you're not getting a Fendi bag.
And at Sam's Club, you get a really, really huge one.
Yeah, you probably do.
A four-pack.
Oh, God.
The family size.
But stay tuned for that one, because this should get interesting to think that these are two well-known manufacturers and brands going after each other. And,
how about that?
Yeah, pretty interesting.
It's the kind of thing you see on street corners in New York. It's a Gucci bag.
It's a copy bag.
Yeah.
For $20.
You know what it is.
It's
cool.
Street. Yeah.
I bought the fake Rolex for $20, and I've enjoyed it. And then it lasts for a year, and that's all I expected out of it. And it was good. You know?
Rolex is going to come after you, Jeff, for buying that and admitting it.
Well, I didn't admit it to the ladies.
Now you have.
Oh, no. No, actually, I never bought a Rolex, but I did buy a fake something. I can't remember what it was. Well, this is the health portion of our show, and I do have a warning for everybody. Did you hear this, Gretchen? A 46-year-old man in Dallas, actually in Plano, died from eating at the Matsuya Asian Buffet, 1120 East Parker in Plano. So don't go there. He ate raw oysters. And so I just wanted to let everybody know what's going on with Roy at work.
Aren't you about 46 and don't you work in Plano?
No.
Could be you.
And I don't like oysters. So oysters can be contaminated with the bacterium I know as Vibrio vulnificus. That'll be the name of my next song. And according to state law, actually, anybody that serves raw oysters has to have somewhere displayed in the restaurant or on play cards or something the following. Quote, there is a risk associated with consuming raw oysters or any raw animal protein. If you have chronic illness of the liver, stomach, or blood, or have immune disorders, you are at the greatest risk of illness from raw oysters and should eat oysters fully cooked. If unsure of your risk, consult a physician. So they also said if you've been eating antacids in the 24 hours preceding oyster consumptions, that has been linked to an increased risk of oyster-related illness.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've got more.
So nothing came of this, right? I heard that they didn't go after the restaurant because it was all this man was aware of it. The restaurant didn't do anything wrong, from what I heard.
You know what? I didn't hear the follow-up, so that's actually good to know.
That's what I heard. The restaurant was not shut down. It wasn't cited. Nothing.
Well, I think if the restaurant had the information that said there is a risk associated with consuming raw oysters.
So basically you're eating
at
your own
stuff?
Risk?
Yeah, you're eating at your own risk. And here is the Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommends the following. Do not eat raw oysters or other raw shellfish. I kid you not. That's the first bullet. Second bullet.
Read that placard again.
Go back and reread it again. Refer to number one. Cook shellfish thoroughly, and that includes oysters, clams, mussels. Avoid cross-contamination of cooked seafood and other food with raw seafood and juices from raw seafood, of course. Eat shellfish promptly after cooking and refrigerated leftovers. So the CDC says don't even eat the raw stuff.
Hmm.
All right. So if you like raw oysters, well, I just...
Too bad.
Yeah.
Eat them at home.
Now, I was kind of...
Eat them in the emergency room. So you're already there.
Yeah, you're already there. You know, it's not a bad idea. Yeah, if you're ever sitting in the emergency room for 6 hours because you stubbed your toe or something,
have an oyster.
Take advantage of the time and eat your oysters then. Maybe you can even get higher in line. Yeah, that's a great idea. Tips from This and That podcast.
There you go.
I was really concerned about this because of the sushi implications. You know, is it okay to eat raw fish? And there's nothing in here about raw fish. It was really raw shellfish.
That'll probably be on their website next week.
I know. I hope not.
I bet it didn't say don't eat spinach in a bag either. Come on. Lowly spinach. Just, you know, how can it kill a couple people in the United States and make so many people sick?
Did I just see something in the news where they're now... not suspecting malicious intent, but suspecting that there is a company or two companies that very proactively disobeyed the rules that have
really?
To do with... Yeah,
with
yeah,
cleanliness?
With cleanliness, right. It wasn't malicious. It was just like, what can we get away with to save costs?
Wow.
I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't followed
sure
up the story.
I'm sure it'll come out. I'm sure it'll
come out. Yeah.
Want to talk about something else polarizing?
Polarize me, baby.
Polarizing. I was at the San Diego Wild Animal Park last weekend, and that's near Escondido, California, and a lot of people...
Is that the San Diego, same as the San Diego Zoo?
No, it's up the road. It's 35 miles up the road, but it's a sister park of the zoo.
Okay.
And this is the part that's interesting. There were some things I found out I didn't know, and zoos, why I wanted to talk about zoos...
This just in. Things exist that Gretchen didn't know.
Shut up. I bet you didn't know. It started 34 years ago, and it was specifically started to be the breeding program for the
Gretchen.
Zoo.
Gretchen, everybody knows that. But we should humor her.
Well, if anybody's been to the San Diego Zoo, it is absolutely amazing. I think it's known as the best in the world, if not one of the top three. So this is the breeding park for the zoo.
Really?
And it's been there 34 years, and it's one of those open parks where the majority of it, you get in a tram and you ride, and the animals can walk up to you. And I mean,
so if you're an animal... You want to be there and be breeding.
You could be breeding. Yeah, they showed a rhinoceros, and she's been there almost since the beginning, and she's had 18 babies.
Wow.
And she's just going to live out the rest of her life there. She's done breeding now.
Okay.
But
not
so
going to kill her up so and make rhino steaks?
No, they're not going to take her horn and make aphrodisiac.
Okay.
But they have 500 animal births a year, and they do some really interesting things because, you know, zoos are pretty controversial, but the one thing that I didn't know, well, a couple things I didn't know, that they take you by this one pen, and they say, these are these very, very rare, very endangered monkeys, and they're from the Congo.
Okay.
And they're there because they have no home to go back to. They're because of the war in the Congo, their whole homeland has been destroyed, and the only place they reside right now is in San Diego Wild Animal Park.
Wow.
So I wondered how many more animals were really like that.
Yeah.
That so sucks, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really does.
It really sucks. Well, the answer...
And it's amazing.
The answer is about 36 animal species are extinct in the wild, and they are bred as part of zoos, and then they try to reintroduce them back to their former habitats, and like the California condor has been one that they have reintroduced it back, and it's been very successful.
Okay.
But most of the time, they can't reintroduce them back because if their habitat's been destroyed. And I don't know if you happened to catch Anderson Cooper this week. He was doing his show live from Africa.
I haven't seen it.
The whole continent of shame because there's so many horrible things happening, and America just sort of turns its eye. But
yeah.
One of the places he went was to see the Highland gorillas in the Congo. And there are game wardens that are paid for by international funds to protect the gorillas. There's only 700 of them left. Those are the Highland ones. And you have to hike for hours, and you have to have a clean bill of health because humans can hurt them.
Right.
But the lowland gorillas, the ones that are down where there is warfare, are not doing as well as the highland ones, and they're being picked off. And yes, they are talking about that. You know, it's just sort of a free-for-all, and these poor animals are caught in the middle. Well, plus the people are caught in the middle, but so are the animals.
Right.
But he was basically saying the same thing. But, you know, I know I've always had mixed feelings about zoos, but I didn't realize that there's sometimes that there's no other place to call home. And, you know, maybe it's not so bad to live in, you know, the best climate in the United States, which is San Diego.
Well, and having people 24/7 looking after your best interests. And
right.
You hope that's...
And the other thing that they had taken in, which I thought was interesting, was they had taken a herd of 11 African elephants from Swaziland, and it turns out that the reserves, some of the populations in the animal reserves in Africa of animals are doing so well that they're overpopulating the land that is all part of the preserve.
Right.
And in this case, these 11 elephants were going to be killed because the land wasn't big enough to sustain them. So the San Diego Zoo and a zoo in Florida, also they flew them in a jumbo 747, and they got here 2 years ago. And since then, they've had three babies, and they're all very happy that they've rescued these 11 elephants that were going to be killed in Swaziland.
Wow.
It's hard to believe that, you know, where you try so hard to release them and protect them, that now there's overpopulation in some areas. But I thought that was really pretty pretty interesting.
So that is very interesting.
So even though, you know, I'm sort of into animal rights and I don't eat them, and most animal rights activists disapprove of zoos on a matter of principle because they say a zoo interprets human domination over equal creatures and criticizes educational value. In some cases, you know, this is to think that there's 36 species that wouldn't be here unless they were in zoos, and specifically being bred, that, you know, and the number's not going down. It continues to go up. Plus education. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was really pretty worthy. And if you've seen it, you know it's actually a very nice park.
Well, very good. So you actually sort of extended your mind and opened up some of your thoughts.
Well, they did things I didn't realize
stuff.
That
yeah.
they did.
Yeah,
I
that's
had
good.
No idea that it. But
it's great that a woman at your age can keep an open mind. But I'm pumped.
No, I know.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about the age joke. But I really do mean that sincerely. It's great that when people of any age can keep an open mind and learn new things. So you're not totally anti-zoo. And hey, let's be fair. There are some zoo practices that you sort of read about sometimes that come up in the news that are awful.
Right. There are definitely right. zoos that are not making money, whereas these two zoos are very popular and they
right.
do make money. And supposedly this one has the best hospital in the world for veterinary medicine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so if you're an animal there, you're going to get the best care. It's like the Mayo Clinic of animals.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to follow up on something that you had talked about. I can't remember if it was last show or the show before. But did you see this? There was a 32-year-old man who was at the airport in Seattle waiting for his flight. He was speaking Tamil and a little bit of English. And he was talking about
He's having an oyster.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. And he was talking about sports. And a off-duty airline employee heard the conversation in Tamil, which is, by the way, a language largely used in India, Sri Lanka, and Singapore, and informed the flight crew of the off-duty airline employee informed the flight crew. So the man apparently also said something in English about a sporting rivalry in his alma mater. So I guess it sounded, you know.
It sounded like a man talking about sports.
Yeah.
Typical guy, right? what's the problem here?
Yeah, I think his sports team was called the Planes. And, you know, the quarterback was going back to throw a bomb to the Planes.
Oh, jeez.
No, but it was a big understanding, and the guy was nice and everything. And
a misunderstanding, you mean?
Big misunderstanding. It was
a big understanding. We're all speaking the same language.
Right, right. But he was detained for quite a bit of time. And he told officials that he would not speak in a foreign language on his cell phone at the airport in the future. So that's his lesson. And I think that's fair. So let that be a lesson to all you people that don't speak English. When you go to the airport, you speak your English and you stay off your cell phone. And of course, I'm being a little satirical.
I was going to say, wait a minute. I think freedom of speech is one of those. But where is my copy of the Bill of Rights? Damn it.
Did you not bring it to the show?
I thought
you had your laminated copy in your pocket. What's up with that?
Well, you've got your cell phone in your pocket.
I did. So, no, I'm being facetious, of course. I mean, this is a case. I don't want to say.
Aren't you appalled? What if he was standing there talking to you?
Yes, I'm appalled. I'm appalled by this. This is ridiculous and this is bad. extremely bad judgment, and it should not be tolerated. It doesn't really go against my point of a couple weeks ago, I don't believe. But this is a glaring example of how we get it wrong.
Yep.
I mean, it's really horrible. And the gentleman in question was very cooperative, probably more than he should have been. I mean,
yeah, probably.
You know, they're very kind and all that kind of stuff.
He probably should have sworn and called his mom and said, I have a few choice words to say about these stupid Americans.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, do you know about this? Let's see. Test your history.
All right. Oh, I love tests.
The seven wonders of the ancient world. Do you remember them?
I don't think. You know what? I'm pretty sure. Again, I must have been sick
You've
that day
because
I don't think I ever learned them. Yeah, but I don't think I ever learned them. I don't know what the seven wonders are.
Oh well, there's only one left, so you can't.
Really?
Like, yeah. They all bit it.
Okay.
By
don't tell me.
Fire or earthquake.
One I saw the ruins of, I think, is Ephesus. Is that one of them?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was destroyed by fire.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still, the ruins are still impressive. They're very impressive ruins.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Go see Ephesus. It's in Turkey.
All right. Well.
What else?
There's these seven wonders of the old world.
The
right?
old world.
These are the old worlds. And they were named by one guy, Philon of Byzantine, in 200 BC. And the only one that's left are the pyramids of Giza. It's the only one that remains is the big gold pyramid.
Oh, wow.
The one pyramid.
Yeah.
The other ones are all gone, and they've been destroyed by fire and earthquake. And they were all built between 2500 BC and 200 BC. They were basically a travel guide for his fellow Athenians. Hey, you want to go see the sites? Here they are. That's what it was. So he was this kind of engineer kind of dude, and he named these sites.
He was the first travel agent.
He was the first travel guide writer.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so now there's a new guy.
When you go to the pyramid, you got to go to this restaurant,
right,
Lusaka's
right.
Kitchen. It's great
right.
falafel.
It's three stars.
Three stars, Zagat says.
That's right.
Three
Zagat.
And a half stars.
So now there's a new guy. His name is Bernard Weber, and he wants to revive the concept of the seven wonders of the world, and he's making it a global goal where all of us can vote on what we think the new wonders are. They've been narrowed down by this very prestigious field of judges.
Can I interrupt you for a second? I thought you were going to say he wanted to rebuild them.
No, I was thinking,
oh, this is so Vegas. This would be so cool. Rebuild all the seven ancient wonders in one playland.
Oh, in Vegas.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
That would be so awesome. I would go. I would stay there.
Statue of Zeus.
I would stay there. I would gamble there.
White House of Alexandria. The mausoleum. All right.
Right, yeah.
Let's go to the mausoleum. But anyhow, he's having this competition, and we're all invited to vote. And it's not going to be chosen by one man. Millions of people. And
I'm sorry, but the mausoleum, don't tell me where that is. I think I've seen that. Could that have been in Rome?
No. No. Halicarnassus?
That's right. That's right.
That's the guy.
Okay.
And that was in, maybe it was in Rome.
Okay.
It was built by the Greeks.
Yeah, I think it might have been Rome.
All right,
I think
so
I may
have seen it.
Yeah, but it was destroyed horribly.
1494.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it. I think I saw a big hole in the ground where they were doing something.
It was an earthquake.
Yeah, okay.
Got it.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Sorry, please, go ahead.
So anyhow,
no more interruptions.
So anyhow, this new seven wonders that we can vote on, they aim 50% of the profits are going to go to documenting, maintaining, restoring, and reconstructing world heritage under the motto, Our Heritage is Our Future.
Okay.
So, like I said, this prestigious group has narrowed down 77 nominees to 21 candidates.
Huh.
And then you can vote, and you can go to their website, which is newsevenwonders.com. So it's the numeral seven. newsevenwonders.com.
And I'll put a link in the show notes.
You can vote. And so now they're actually taking this whole voting committee and this whole publicity stunt, and they're going to all these 21 sites. And then on July 7th, are we interrupting again?
We are. But I'm doing what the listener would be interrupting you.
Okay.
What exactly are these? Are these natural things
no,
or are they man-made. Could they be building? Okay. Man-made.
They're man-made, and here they are, the 21 final.
Like the Grand Canyon.
Not the Grand Canyon. Big shovel. Dug that out.
A lot of work,
yeah. The Acropolis, the Eiffel Tower, the Great Wall,
okay.
The Kremlin, Machu Picchu, the Colosseum, Easter Island statues, Stonehenge, the Statue of Liberty. The pyramids are nominated for the second time.
Wow.
Oh, pyramids.
Would that be something if they got in again?
That's right.
Man.
Taj Mahal. That really cool castle in Germany.
Oh, Neuschwanstein.
Yes.
Neuschwanstein, yeah. Ludwig. Crazy King Ludwig.
Right. Yeah, so anyhow, these are the finalists, and so you can vote for them, and then the top seven are going to be the seven wonders of the New World.
How about that?
And he's going to announce them live on July 7th, 2007. 7707. Because it's 7707.
Why wouldn't he wait till 2077 so it could be 7777? I don't understand.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll be dead.
Well, he's got an obsession with the number seven, which I'm sure is unlucky in some cultures.
That could very well be.
Yeah.
But so all these leading architectural experts have narrowed it down, and so these are them. So you can go to the website and you can see where the world tour is going to be. And
I think you got to
all of them.
I think you got to put the pyramids.
The Sydney Opera.
Wait, are they? Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that belongs up there.
Statue of Christ Redeemer in Rio. It's on there.
Oh yeah. What? So are they actually taking our votes as meaning something?
Yes, they are. Your vote matters.
Really? So I'd kind of rather have experts that have been to travel to all these because,
well, those experts,
you know, everybody in Egypt's going to go, oh, yeah, the pyramids. And
right.
Everybody, you know.
But I think it's only people who hear about this, you know, and that's why they're taking them all over to the places that are nominated.
Oh, so now our audience has heard about it. Now the idiots that listen to us are going to get to vote. That's such a bad idea, Gretchen. Hey, did I just turn off our listeners? Did I just say that out loud?
Yes, I think you did. You better
Excellent.
Cut that one out.
No, I won't. I'm just kidding, guys. I know that our listeners are probably among the most intelligent people in the country. I'm sure of it. I'm sure if we took an IQ test of our listeners, they would have IQs.
Yes, I bet they would.
So I got another email. And in fact, I've been getting more and more of these. Do you ever, you know, the ones I'm talking about? I am writing, dear sir, I'm writing this letter because my father just died. He was a very wealthy gold and cocoa merchant based in Accra and Abidjan. But he was killed alongside with my mother in last year's rabble attack, whatever all this means, and all his properties report. And, you know, it goes on and on. They need help with the bank account.
You've been getting this on your
email. Just regular email, yeah.
Regular email. Okay.
And I get, the different stories. It's the whole same thing. But this kind of email has been around ever since email started. I mean, it's been one of the...
These are people looking for money.
These
are scams.
They're scams.
Okay.
But they come across
they're
as people...
They're pulling on your heartstrings, are they, Jeff?
They're pulling on the heartstrings, and they're always foreign, and they always have a death, and they can't get the money. They need somebody from America to help get the money, but they need to get a down payment. So anyways, it's this whole thing.
So it's kind of a formula, is that what you're saying?
Yes, very much of a formula. It's very easy to detect that it's spam. But yet, I've seen it for the last, I don't know how long email's been around, 15 to 20 years.
So who was nice friend who sent that to you? Or nobody? He just got your name somewhere?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you get these, too. They're probably in your spam bucket. But the point is...
No, I answer them all. I've given them lots of money over the years. that's why.
Well, that's what...
I referred them to you. Are you getting all my referrals?
Well, that would answer my question. Because what I'm posing, I'm not saying, wow, look at this email, so crazy. Because everybody gets these. Everybody knows what they are. My question is, the fact that they keep sending them after 15 years proves to me they must work. There
must be
some people that actually go through this and lose their money to it. And I wish I had done some research. Because
to find out how many suckers there are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe you can fill us in next time.
I think I probably will. Mm. Because I don't think they would send it anymore if it didn't ever work. I mean, it's such a goofy tale. So.
Well, why don't you send some money and follow your money trail and see what happens?
Well,
see if you can like do a report on it.
I'll
give you $50 if you let me...
About 3 years ago, I did see something in the internet. I couldn't. It was so lengthy that I couldn't even read all of it. But that's exactly what this fellow did. He went down the whole line. And it was unbelievable, Gretchen, because it wasn't just like this email thing. I mean, he actually had an office, actually in a law firm, actually went through the motions. I mean, it was pretty elaborate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's kind of an amazing thing to me. Again, I know people must follow through. So I will do some research. I'll take that back as my homework. And I will inform our highly IQ'd audience.
So don't answer it until Jeff gets back to you.
Right, right.
To see if they're going to really help out with the money for the burial.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. Expenses. If you're kind of leery thinking about it, don't do it. Don't think it's a good idea.
Hey, so do people with red cars get more speeding tickets than those with blue cars?
That's what they always say. I remember when I bought a red car 20 years ago. I remember, I think my parents even said, oh, you're going to get more tickets.
Did you?
I don't know. I don't know if I had enough data to make that conclusion.
Well, I have a red car, and I would say based on my experience.
No, you have a red car now? You don't. Your car is orange.
Last I checked, I have a red car. But there are no official statistics for such things. However, there's been a study done in Great Britain that suggested that the color of your car says something about your personality type, and that people with black cars,
me,
Jeff, are more twice as likely to be involved in a crash as people with cream-colored cars.
Really? Well, let me tell you, though, something, though, about my little background. My first car was a white car. My second car was a red car, fire engine red, and my third car was a black car. And that's where I'm at now. For those that probably have an idea of what my age is.
You've only had three cars in your whole life? You've only had one couch in your whole life, so what am I saying?
Yeah,
only three
I
cars.
Keep my cars.
So you know what black cars represent?
Style, grace. Since I have a black car, coolness, hipness, smartness.
No.
I don't know.
No, they're saying an aggressive personality or someone who's a rebel.
That's me.
Oh,
that's what people always say. There goes Jeff the rebel.
Jeff the rebel.
Rebelling against corporate world, saving corporate, been in corporate world for 20, 25 years, whatever. I'm a rebel.
Oh, you're a rebel, all right.
Whoa.
Get to work every morning at 9 o'clock. Okay. Silver cars denote someone who's cool, calm, and aloof. Green cars are people with hysterical tendencies. So watch out for those green cars.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yellow.
I would think silver car would be sort of, you know, good salt of the earth, don't ruffle feathers.
No, those are gray cars. There's
okay.
a difference between gray and silver.
Okay.
Gray are calm and dedicated to their work.
Okay.
Maybe you should try a gray car next.
Yeah, yeah.
Yellow cars are people who are novelty loving.
The older I get, the more the gray beige that I hated 15 years ago does look appealing. I don't know why. Then what does your study say about that?
Because you're getting old.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting really old.
Although I have to admit, I've had a black car for 10 years now, but I still like black. I mean, it kind of sucks in Texas because it gets
hot. You're still a rebel.
I'm still a rebel, but
an aggressive personality.
No, I'm not. But it's a very nice looking color for a car.
You might want to try pink. Those are gentle, loving, and affectionate drivers.
Pink? I've never seen a pink car.
White cars represent status seeking extroverts.
Really?
Cream colored cars are least likely to be involved in accidents and are controlled owners.
Huh.
And red cars denote people who are full of zest, energy, and think fast and move and talk quickly.
Interesting.
And does the color of your car have anything to do with your insurance payment, your insurance bill?
I would guess no.
The answer is no.
Okay.
That's right. Because it's technically not tied to the VIN number.
Okay.
So.
Very good. Very interesting. Well.
I think you need a cream-colored car.
Why?
You won't be involved in an accident.
I don't get in accidents. All right. I want to talk about the beauty penalty. We all know people are more likely to trust a pretty face, right? But the conclusion that some scientists at Rice University found was that if that trust is betrayed by the pretty face, the backlash is a lot worse than, say, if somebody ugly did something untrustworthy. Huh. So in other words, they call that in this paper, they call it the beauty penalty. So numerous studies in the past have shown that attractive people generally make more money, get higher reviews from the supervisors, and are viewed as being more intelligent and trustworthy. What surprised researchers in this study was that subjects deemed attractive also were penalized more harshly for failing to live up to their expectations that their looks showed. So,
well, I think, you know, maybe there's some jealousy factors in there, too.
Yeah. So here's kind of the study that they ran through. I didn't go this whole thing, but each student, it was a student deal. Each student was given 10 lab dollars. Then they were told they could send any amount of the money to other students, making their choice purely on pictures of them. The study moderators then tripled the amount sent to the recipients, who were allowed to decide how much to refund to the sender, also based on their photographs. Now, a separate group of students evaluated the pictures for a number of traits, including attractiveness. The researchers found that, on average, the students deemed attractive received more money, not surprisingly, and also tended to reciprocate more generously. So that's kind of interesting. However, initial recipients also expected more cash from the attractive students, and when they received less, punished them more harshly by skimping on the return money. And one of the comments was, and I think we all know this, human beings make decisions based on stereotypes. It's like a shorthand way of making judgments, and we do that. When we do that, we make mistakes. And I think that's the interesting, I don't know if that's a conclusion of this article, but I think that's an interesting thought, because we all simplify our lives based on stereotypes. Every one of us does it. Mm-hmm. It's been shown time and time again. Because, you know, in reality, there's every parameter in life is gray. It's not black and white, pretty much. But we make black and white assumptions because we got to get through our day.
Right.
You know? But this fella is saying that when we do that, we make mistakes. And that's what corporations, he went on to further kind of discuss, corporations spend a lot of time and money trying to avoid that, trying to make their employees not make decisions based on stereotypes and so forth.
Hmm.
So the takeaway message, one of the research concluded, is that people have the wrong idea about attractiveness. Attractive people, well, they're not less trustworthy than other people, but they're not more trustworthy either. So if we are aware of our biases, we can do a little better job of making decisions.
I think you should just ignore them altogether and just deal with plain people. And you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Maybe don't hire,
just don't hire them.
Don't hire attractive people,
yeah.
And don't hire ugly people. Just have all average-looking people. That's a great idea. Mm. And then what do you do with the good-looking ones? Like, where would I work? Where would you and I work, Gretchen?
Speak for yourself.
I know.
Buddy.
They'd lump us with the ugly people. I know. I can dream. Can't a fella dream? Uglies over here, good looking's over here.
And you plain people? You're right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
So, you know, you guys have heard that Mark Foley story?
Yes.
Little thing about Mark Foley and the Pages?
Yes, that our Republican Florida ex-congressman
right.
who has resigned
well,
in scandal right. and is now in rehab.
He's rehabbing.
Rehabbing.
He's rehabbing for being gay. He's
and
rehabbing for being alcoholism. He's rehabbing for being abused by the clergyman. And I don't know what else he's rehabbing. So we should have forgiveness. It wasn't his fault.
No. Not his fault at all.
You know, I was going to come up with that as a big theme in this podcast.
And it wasn't
but it's
Speaker
been
of the House's
about.
Fault either.
No, it
wasn't
nobody's
his fault either that he knew about it a couple of years ago.
And it's not his fault that he weighs what two people should weigh. It's not his fault.
He's got like five chins, doesn't he?
Yeah. Last I checked.
I try to count them.
I think it grows daily. Well, Gretchen and I thought we would, for those who haven't seen any of his IMs to Pages, Gretchen and I thought we would act some of these out. Okay, so I'm going to play the voice, I guess, of Mark And you're going to play the voices of the page.
The 16-year-old page?
16-year-old page. Okay.
Okay.
So how's my favorite young stud doing?
Tired and sore. I didn't know waltzing could make you sore.
From what?
What do you mean from what? From waltzing. I'm sore from waltzing.
That's good. You need a massage.
Why is the page waltzing?
I don't know. I don't know. And then I sign off and then I sign back on.
Okay, got kicked off?
Must have.
Oh, tomorrow I have the first day of lacrosse practice.
Love to watch that. Those great legs running.
They aren't great. That's why we have conditioning. 2 days running, 3 days lifting. Every week until the end of March.
Well, don't ruin my mental picture.
Oh, laughing out loud. Sorry.
Nice. You'll be way hot then.
Hopefully.
Better be. Well, I better let you go do your thing.
Oh, okay. Have fun campaigning, or however you spell it. Laughing out loud. I'll see ya in a couple of weeks.
Did any girls give you a hand job this weekend?
Oh God, he asked that.
Yes.
Laughing out loud, no.
She really did laugh out loud.
That's appalling. This is a congressman on our payroll.
Yes.
On congressional time writing, did any girls give you a hand job this
right.
weekend? And the answer is no. I'm single right now. My last GF and I broke up a few weeks ago.
Are you? Good. So you're getting horny?
Laughing out loud. A bit.
Did you spank it this weekend yourself? It's so funny.
Oh, this is awful. No, I've been too tired and too busy.
Wow, I have never been too busy. Or tired. Helps me sleep.
That's true. Haven't been having a problem with sleep, though. I just walk in the door and collapse, well, at least this weekend.
I am sure.
I don't do it very often normally, though.
Why not? At your age, it seems like it would be daily.
Not me. I'm not a horn dog. Maybe 2 or 3 times a week.
That's a good number. In the shower.
I can't believe they're going down this road. Actually, usually I don't do it in the shower. Just because I shower in the morning and quickly.
In the bed.
I get up at 5:30 and out of the house by 6:10. Yeah.
On your back?
Oh, God. No, face down.
Love details.
Oh, laughing out loud. I see that. I'm still laughing.
Really? Do you really do it face down?
Yeah.
Kneeling?
This is disgusting. I can't believe this is a congressman. Well, I don't use my hand. I use the bed itself.
Where do you unload it?
Oh, towel.
Really? Completely naked?
Well, yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, laughing out loud.
Cute butt bouncing in the air.
Well, I've never watched myself, but yeah, I guess.
I am sure not. Great visual. I may try that.
It works.
Sounds interesting. I always use lotion in the hand.
Oh, thanks for sharing, Mark. I'm really appreciating this.
But who knows?
I don't use lotion. Takes too much time to clean up. With the towel, you can just wipe off and go.
LOL. Where do you throw the towel?
But you can't work it too hard or it's not good in the laundry.
Just kind of slow rubbing.
Yeah. Or you'll rub yourself raw.
Well, I have AA totally stiff wood now.
Oh, because the towel isn't very soft.
I bet. That would hurt.
But you can find something softer than a towel, I guess.
But a must feel great spurting on the towel.
Yeah?
Wow. Is your little guy limp or growing?
Growing. This is so disgusting.
So you got a stiff one now?
Not that fast. Hey, so you have a... fetish? Spelled way incorrectly.
Hey, what?
F- fetish. Oh, wait, we're correcting the typo. Okay, fetish.
Like, I like steam rooms. What's yours?
It's kinky. It's kind of weird, laughing out loud.
I am hard as a rock. So tell me when yours reaches rock. I have a cast fetish. Oh, no, that's you.
No, that's you.
No.
Oh, okay. I have a cast fetish.
Well, tell me. Cast?
Cast. Like plaster cast.
Okay, so what happens? How does that turn you on?
I don't know. It just does. I've never had one, but people that have them turn me on. And if I had one, it would probably turn me on. Beats me. It's kind of weird. But along with that, I like the whole Catholic girl look. That's our school's uniform.
Ha, that's weird. That's wild. Sorry. That's wild.
Oh, come on. Let's keep this accurate.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, but now I'm hard.
Me, too.
Numeral two.
Yeah. Cass got you going. What are you wearing?
Normal clothes, t-shirt and shorts.
So a big bulge?
Bulge with a B-U-L-D-G-E.
Bulge, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He's typing with one hand. love to slip them off a few.
Ha ha ha.
And grab the one-eyed snake. Grab. Then he's misspelling.
Not tonight. Don't get too excited.
Well, you're hard.
That is true.
And a little horny.
And also true.
Get a ruler and measure it for me.
God, I can't believe we agreed to do this. This is just, how long does this go on?
No, that's it. Just one more page.
Oh, this is
one more page.
So
get it?
Sick, Mark Foley, you pervert. Jesus. I've already told you that.
Tell me again.
7 1/2.
Beautiful. There's a lot of M's.
Laughing out loud.
That's a great size.
Yeah, thank you.
Still stiff.
Yeah.
Take it out.
My mom is yelling.
Okay.
Back?
Yeah, he's back.
Oh, he's back. Okay.
Cool. Hope she didn't see anything.
No. She is computer dumb, though. It makes me so mad.
Good. Ha, ha, ha. Why?
Because she can't do anything.
Oh, well.
She couldn't figure out how to download a file from an email and open it.
Ha, ha.
And she only does it like a million times a day. Oh, well. Whatever. Well, I better go finish my homework, HW. I just found out from a friend that I have to finish reading and notating a book for AP English. This is our AP English student here. That was me.
That was beautiful. But you know what? It's obviously this kid is sort of, you know, acting out too. So, I mean, it's not really...
He's 16, right?
Yeah.
That's considered a minor. And this
considered
is our
a minor.
Congressman.
No, it's and wasn't bad. This it's done, bad. It's
wasn't
bad.
This
it's horrible.
Done at work? This wasn't his home, right?
Yeah.
This
probably.
Was at work.
Yeah.
And then he actually stopped a vote, I heard, so that he could run and check an email and email back to some other page.
Yeah,
and these
probably.
Are the pages that have been providing these.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of these, I mean, that's the whole
I
thing.
I mean, if
of
he wants to do this in the privacy of his home, I have no problem with that, but not when he's your paid congressperson.
And these guys have influence on the pages. One of the pages that I saw was interviewing that, you know, didn't have any problems with Foley or whatever, didn't have any issues with him. But he did say, you know, when a congressman calls you and emails you and IMs you, it's like a big deal.
Sure, it'd be a big deal.
Because pages apparently don't get any kind of respect at all. I mean, they just go get coffee and stuff.
Right. And so. This one paid attention. But still, he was 16. He was a minor. That's disgusting. And Foley's position on the House for, what, abused?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he no,
it's,
write
it's
the
clearly,
bill.
It's clearly awful. Clearly needs to be punished and, you know, needs and all that kind of stuff. But I don't feel bad. I don't want to make sure I say this correctly. I don't feel like the kids... are gonna. I saw there are some other IMs where he would start doing his "What are you wearing? Do you have a bulge thing?" and they would just log off. You know, I mean, come on, 16-year-old kids do know what's going on. Even I did as 16-year-old. You stick with it, or if you're horny, and then you know, or you get off because you realize you're up against a weirdo. So I don't think the kids are going to be damaged. Like, for example, if he was doing some sort of sexual thing with a 5-year-old, for example. But nevertheless, I'm not condoning it. So,
Not pretty there.
Not
Mark
pretty.
Foley. I'm glad you're in rehab, but I think you need a little more help than rehab. Not a good example for our I can see why the Florida voters are mad. And, you know, I can't seem to think that if Mr. Hassert was told about this, any part of this is so memorable that how could you say, I don't recall?
Exactly.
It's so perverted and so disgustingly memorable. And even the snippets that they've been putting up on, you know, on the news shows. I mean, yeah. I hadn't heard a half of this. I'd heard the part about what are you wearing, but
yeah.
The rest of it is just, you know, always got to go do his English paper.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, that's going to do the show. If you want to call us, our line is area code 206-888-4851. I'll give you that one more time.
And we didn't write that last part, okay?
Right. That's not our... That was an IM conversation that Gretchen and I had a few weeks ago. How's your bulge? My bulge is good. Area code 206, again, 888-4851. Our website is www.thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or www.thisandthatpodcast.com.
I just said two W's?
Yeah.
Yeah, that won't work.
No, it might be an error message.
Yeah, might be an error message. So, that's the news in our side of the world. How's your set? I'm working on new leaving
new
lines.
Endings?
New endings. That's the world. The word from our side of the world. What about?
That's way too hard.
All right. How about? How about? That's all we got. That's all we printed out. That's all we know?
That's all we know. There you go. That's all we know. I don't want to know anything else after that last conversation with Mr. Foley.
Yeah, you're going to go look up some more, aren't you? You got excited. I know.
I was, frankly, my eyes were open and I was appalled. I cannot believe you did that.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I'm sure a lot more disgusting ones
I'm
we
sure
haven't even
other
seen.
Ones too, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So long, Gretchen.
All right, Jeff. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.